Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
They say marketing is a madman's game. So now we turn it over to the marketing madman with Trip Jobe and Darren Rand on Extra 106.3 FM.
Happy Saturday. Welcome to the Marketing Madmen. Trip Jobe here with guest host today, Scott Reinhold from the Morning Extra. So welcome.
Thank you. Yes, I'm on my favorite show besides, well, no, this is my favorite show. And yeah, I love being here. So I'm excited about this. I love what you do on this show. And I love the way we come up with marketing and ideas because I'm a small business owner. And I think it's great. I think it's great to hear from some of these other companies and what they're doing. And I love being a part of this.
Well, thanks, Rhino. And you know what? I think maybe Darren should be worried because you're my favorite host. And maybe we'll get you in more often. Yeah, I know. So anyhow,
Darren, he carries a man purse. I could push him aside and take his job. It's not a problem.
Well, today what we've got is going to be a lot of fun because, as you're right, there's a small business, and we have Kara Dalala, who is the founder and owner, co-owner, I think, of
yes.
Meatballers Atlanta. So started as a food truck. So welcome, Kara.
Yes, thank you. I'm excited to be here. I can't wait to tell you guys a little bit about what we do and learn from y'all as well.
It's a fun business. I mean, I have a food truck as well. It's a trailer. I've been doing that for a long time, and it's a really, really tough business, and I want to hear from someone else how they've navigated this because this is one of the hardest jobs. People don't appreciate how hard it is to get into this industry, and I tell people all the time, they're like, hey, will you consult me on a restaurant? And you know this. I tell people all the time, give me $25,000. They go, okay, what are you going to do with it? I'm like, oh, I'm going to keep it. You just threw it away because that's what you do when you get into a restaurant. That's how hard it is at times. Yeah. So it's amazing. And especially today, I'd love to hear how you navigate through the pandemic and what's going on with inflation.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess a great segue. So I think you're about 8 years old now. So tell us how you got into it and how Meatballers came about.
Well, I traveled most of my life. My mom always traveled us around and I was always obsessed with street food. So it was always a plan of mine for a long time to get into the street food business. I just didn't know how. Mm. And in college, I had people I wanted to do it with, but it just wasn't working out. So when I turned 30, I looked at my mom and I said, I'm not going to spend another 10 years like not doing my dream. Will you do this with me? And I knew like her food was good enough. So she said, you get the truck, I'll make the food, we can do this. And I made it happen creatively and I funded a food truck. And yeah, it was probably one of the best and worst days of my life ever. So, you know, we broke down a lot over the course of the first few years and went through a lot, but we made it. And, you know, every struggle just makes you learn and get better.
Oh, absolutely. So it's so you've had quite the journey. And let's move to, as Rhino was saying, the last couple of years with the pandemic. Kind of tell us where you felt you were right before everything kind of shut down. And what are maybe a couple of the highlights or lowlights from there, the things that you're challenged with?
Well, I felt like we were on a high before COVID, to be honest with you, in the pandemic. At that point, we opened our first brick and mortar in Chamblee, Georgia. We had our food truck running strong, really good following, social media presence was there. You know, we were starting to get recognized. So we were riding on a high and we were booked up fully on our schedule. And then seemingly overnight, I woke up to 50 emails just canceling every single event we had on our schedule, like one after another. And I looked at my mom and I'm like, what is happening? You know, like everything is getting canceled. All the events are getting shut down, you know. And then, you know, we were like, well, we just opened this restaurant. We were just starting to see some positive momentum in the sales. So it was definitely a shock, but there was a lot of highs. You know, we had the first brick and mortar, so we're trying to be, you know, appreciative and grateful because in a time right now where like mobile food was about to die for a second until we found a new groove, we had this. So this is the way we could direct people and just find a way to shift how we were doing our business there.
Yeah, it was amazing what the pandemic had done to the restaurant business. And in reality, the restaurant business should have been the safest business during the pandemic, because we as chefs are held to a standard that a lot of people aren't, especially when we get ServSafe certified. And that goes to a food truck as well. But this was the food, and the food truck, you know, worked for me too during the pandemic. It was actually better that it happened, because I was able to get out and be outside with the food truck and serve people, and people felt comfortable. But just because of health code and standards, that should have been an industry that thrived, but instead people were so scared it just shut everything down and really hurt business, not to mention the supply chain, being able to get food. I mean, everything was thrown off. That must have been really challenging for you as well, just getting supplies.
Oh yeah, I mean, definitely. And overnight, every person in the world wanted a pair of gloves to wear to everything they did, and a mask and all this stuff. And we're like, hey, you know, we're on like in this, we need this stuff to function. So can you like get one less case of gloves, because, you know, the glove prices skyrocketed. So things you took for granted before, you know, spending $45, $50 on a case of gloves. Yeah. Now you're like, I'd give anything to see that price on a case of gloves again.
Yeah, so, going to a Restaurant Depot, they're out of gloves.
Out of gloves. Oh, it's a fight. People were like, you know, you see people fight during Christmas. It was like that same thing was happening in like restaurant stores, and people are flipping out and you're like, what are you going to do? But I think it forced a lot of people in the industry to rethink what they were doing. And we're lucky we already came from a background of to-go food, being on a mobile food truck. So we already knew how to shift to like, okay, we're just going to be a takeout only to-go. We, you know, closed the doors in the front. It was all curbside pickup, payment over the phone, making people feel as comfortable as possible. Order online, pay ahead, come and get it. So, you know, we were able to shift. And it just took time for the food trucks to find the groove of what was going to work for us in that. Because you're right, people did feel comfortable going outside. They were like, oh, this is safer. So then after the first few initial months of shock and everyone's getting in lockdowns and everything, we started to like come back to, then they were like, well, now we need food trucks because we're outside. Yeah. This is the safest place to be. And it just all of a sudden it was like, okay, the thing shifts. We're not doing festivals. We're not doing fairs. We're not doing this stuff. We're pulling up into your neighborhood and you're pre-ordering on an app. And you're getting a pickup time, and you're coming and doing a contactless pickup at our food truck.
Yeah.
That's interesting, because I was going to ask you about that. So you do have an app?
Yes, we did. It's a big app that it's actually blew up because I don't think they realized when they created it, called Best Food Trucks. And they're great. And they made it very accessible for food trucks to have a platform to put their menu and accept pre-orders and online active orders. So we just got that little tablet, you know, did that, and it worked. I mean, for the trucks that stuck it through, it worked.
Yeah, because, I mean, I got to believe, and you're the expert, but throughput is one of your biggest challenges, because unlike, you know, a lot of places, you know, you can't take orders in the middle of the night and fill them like Amazon and send them out tomorrow morning. If you're going to be in the spot for 2.5 hours, you know, at night, how do you get the most out of that 2.5 hours?
Yeah, and I think that's our biggest challenge, you know? Yeah. We do Facebook, we do social media, you know, sometimes I'm not great about that because my hands are in every pot, which I'm sure you understand, Rhino. Like, this is when you run a restaurant, you're everything. You're the dishwasher, you're the food runner, you're the person making the food. And I think to be successful, you have to be that person because your staff has to see you being that person. But I think that marketing is an aspect of our business that has suffered. And so now we're trying to pivot and think like, where can we improve? This is a key time right now to get in front of people's face and say, like, this is where our truck is on a bigger level. Because we only have a few thousand followers, you know? So it's, you know, and then it's like, do you think to yourself, after this long, having this good of a product, shouldn't I have 5 million followers?
Right.
You
right.
know, where do they come from?
Yeah, it's a hard thing to get because the one thing that people love to do is share experiences, especially when it comes to food. And when they get a good meal and they get good food, it's easier to get them to spread that word for you. But social media has become so important, especially during the pandemic, and getting out, hey, we're going to be at this location. We're going to be at this location in 2 hours. And, you know, one of the things that a lot of places did during the pandemic was they go out into apartment complexes or condos or businesses and say, hey, do me a favor, can I just stay out here? And it worked out real well. Spreading the word from that point is very important to get people to actually show up. And when you have a good product, people are going to show up for your product. All you have to do is let them know where you're going to be. Maybe give them a little bit of an offer. But if you do it and continue to do it, and then you find that spot where you get the most, and people will always return to that spot.
Yeah, well, that was going to ask, do you have any kind of anchor spots that you return to, whether it's weekly or monthly? And where are they? First off, so let's tell the listeners where they are.
Yeah.
And then how do we think about that to help you, you know, a market, whether it's your anchor spots or your rotating spots.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely have some anchor spots. You know, big shout out to Truck and Tap. They have three locations and more coming. I don't want to announce on their behalf, but the thing is, that's an amazing spot. You have bathrooms, you have beer, wine, liquor, seating, air conditioning, so many things food trucks can't offer.
Yeah. Right. And I've seen you there at Alpharetta, so yeah. I can walk there. It's a 15-minute walk for me, so I'm there too often. But
I know, and it's a great concept because they're taking their hands off the food part of it, and they're saying, you come bring the food. They can keep it unique, exciting, changing daily with different food trucks. So we have about 2 to 3 set spot, you know, dates throughout the month that we're at all the locations. Truck and Tap, you can find it on their schedules as well as ours. And then Still Fire in Gwinnett County is an absolutely incredible brewery that we have built an amazing relationship with. And I have to just shout out to them because they are just time and time again have shown the loyalty because they see where our following's at. So they're giving us 4 to 5 days a month sometimes, getting us on that schedule, giving us a consistent time to be able to get access to our customers. And it's really, you know, thank you. Just thank you to all the places. And then other than that, it just ranges. You know, wineries, breweries, cideries, we're trying it all. Like if there's an opportunity, a school night, you know, so you can follow our Facebook or Instagram to get our weekly schedules and, you know, kind of figure out where we're going to be and where it works for you.
Yeah. Question for you. And, you know, this goes back, my kids are now in college, but for years I was part of the, you know, the baseball board from Roswell. And do you do anything with any of the local parks and rec? I mean, and that's government. So I know that can be challenging, but I just, you think about it again, where are you going to have people? And I just think that that could be a tremendous opportunity if the government's, you know, the local governments allow it.
They're getting better.
Yeah.
They're getting better. I will say that we have some really exciting things on the horizon in terms of the laws and going to a central state permit. If everything goes through in November, like we will see one permit in January. That'll be huge.
Okay.
But to circle back around to what you were saying, the parks, it's harder. So with that stuff, it's usually the cities and parks when they organize large events. 4th of July,
right.
Christmas, you know, anything where they're having a big event, then they call on the food trucks to show up and do the food portion.
Right.
Yeah,
it's
they get really, Cobb County is an example where I had a permit for Cobb County and they love my food so much. They're like, hey, can you bring it here in front of the government center? And then they go, oh, wait, you're not allowed to. We're not allowed to have it inside the city of Marietta and we're not Cobb County. It's very tricky sometimes. You have to find
and
those places.
And they get into precedent.
And
if we do it for this sponsor, then
right.
I remember having to deal with all that and it just drove me crazy being on a volunteer board and having to deal with some of that. So I can understand. But it sounds like things are going in the right direction. So
yeah,
that's
they're
good.
Definitely trying to make it more centralized, you know, fire inspections, because I don't think a lot of people realize as a food truck, you have to have permits everywhere. Business licenses and sometimes mobile permits in a city and then fire inspections and the list goes on.
Well, I want to get into a lot of those challenges and we're also going to get into your food when we come back from the break. So you are listening to the Marketing Mad Men on Extra 106.3. We'll be right back.
Now back to the Marketing Mad Men on Extra 106.3 FM.
Welcome back to the Marketing Mad Men. Trip Job here with Rhino from the Morning Extra and Kara Dalala, who is the owner of Meatballers Atlanta. And we're having a great discussion about your business and food trucks and everything that you've kind of seen in the 8 years that you've been in business and you're expanding and going through the you know, the challenges of the pandemic. So now we get into the fun stuff. And I mean, obviously to be, and I'm sure Rhino can jump in, to be in business in the restaurant industry for 8 years, you have to be doing a lot right. And so now we've got, this is what you're, what do you call it? The spicy meatball?
Oh, well, it's called the Pompeii, like the
Pompeii.
City that burned. So, you know, that kind of lets people know, look, it's hot, you know, but ball in a hole is what you're eating. So that's kind of like our famous dish. We do a 5.5-ounce meatball. It's about the size of a tennis ball, mm-hmm. right into the center.
Oh, it's regular.
And that one gets smashed down, sauce and cheese, and then we bake it to a nice crunchy, gooey perfection.
Yeah, it's fantastic. You know, I'm a that's what I'm known for is my meatballs, my Nona's meatballs. I learned how to make meatballs from my Nona and my great Nona and all the great grandmothers. And this is fantastic. This is a really good meatball. I am one of the most pickiest people in the world when it comes to the sauce, the meatball, and the cheese, and just the perfect amount. Some places just can't do it right. I love the creation. I love what you did here with it. I love that it's on a bun in this way. I mean, I do mine on a hero size, and it's more traditional. I think it's fantastic. What a great product in the Pompeii. The spice, it's perfect. It's not too much, and someone who loves it, I mean, this is a good product.
It's a kick, yeah. But it's not. I mean, I'm not running. Yeah. I'm not running for a drink, you know, type of thing. So, which I loved because that way I'm tasting it, and I love the brand. I mean, just to look at it.
This is the reason, by the way, that she's done this for 8 years. And like you said, this is not something when you make it past the 3 mark and you finally make money, and that's what most places do. Someone like her probably made money right away and right out because that's what this food does. And more important than anything when you're in this business is knowing that you have a good product. And her knowledge of knowing that her mom put out something that people would love is unbelievable. And that's where you get lucky. With, you know, just people coming in and recognizing that this is good food, because this is something that you might have to charge more for than a traditional little place. Like Domino's and them are going to give you garbage food. This is homemade with love and care, and you can taste it. And yeah, congratulations. This is an amazing meatball. I was like really nervous because I'm telling you, like, people will buy my meatballs. Like, I make them, I make them in 60 quart. you know what it's like. And people will call and I'm like, I'm out because I would run through it so much. So yeah, this is an amazing sandwich. I hope you check out meatballs. It's, it's really good. I'm going to eat all of them, by the way.
Yeah, you're not getting any more of these. The other guy's going to come after.
Don't give us all your secrets, but tell us a little bit about, obviously, your mom's, some of the inspiration as well as the execution, it still sounds like, of the food. But.
Oh, yeah. Well, one of the biggest things I think most places get wrong is the Italian food just isn't made by hand with love. And everything is fresh. And that's not like a lie. You know, that's the truth. We get our butcher meat from a family-owned butcher called Patton's Meat Market. Okay, if you haven't seen them or heard of them in Duluth, check them out. Their meat is outstanding. Their customer service is outstanding. Their shop is amazing. They have a lot of local products. So they're a butcher. So this is butcher meat. It's ground for us to a very coarse grind because you need coarse ground meat when you're making a meatball to create those air pockets. It's just one of the elements. And then, you know, we're doing everything stale bread, you know, in there, not traditional bread crumbs. You got like chunky stale bread. You got, you know, fresh everything. You got this butcher grade meat. And then the bread is locally baked. And that's from another bakery called Best Bread Baking Company out of Doraville. And they're another family-owned business. And they have been doing our bread for 7 years.
Nice.
So it's so important for us, for our business. We're family-owned. So we really, truly are trying to support as many other family-owned businesses around us.
Yeah, that's so important too. You know, and I could have told you what she did and what the quality of her product was just by tasting it. And that's so important because, you know, and I love it because stale bread is so important. You stale it, cut it up, and you put it in there, and those are your breadcrumbs. I mean, you get the little pieces that fall off when you cut them and they fall in, and it's an amazing thing too. And that's the pride that you put into it. And like she said, Italians more than anything else are very passionate, and they're passionate about their food and they put love into their food. I tell people all the time, when you're doing this, and you could tell by her smile when you eat your food, there's such a pride in making someone smile when they eat your food.
It is a literal obsession. Sorry to interrupt, but it is a literal obsession.
Right?
When I'm on the food truck, I am like creepily watching people. My employees are like, Kara, you're staring. But it's like to see that first bite, eyes don't lie. The face doesn't lie. Someone could tell you, oh, it's great, and lie, but their face will not. Their reaction will not. And when my mom cooks, it is so important to her that everyone is happy and singing and dancing around. And like, this is in the food. She's like, if I'm having a bad day, I almost don't want to cook because I don't want that in the food. I want people to taste the love and the happiness and stuff.
Yeah. And
so how do you use that to your advantage? So you're a food truck, you're out at Truck and Tap and you see these faces. How do you use that to keep the lines going? Or do you?
You know what? I don't. And maybe I should. You know, maybe I should get out there and take like more, find a way to get more photos of people loving the food, or, you know, say, hey, go on and talk about us. And I think it's like you're so busy at times. Mm-hmm. You're just like, crap, I couldn't even get like one photo of today's event. You know, so maybe it's like having someone show up to do that specifically. Or, you know, I don't know.
Even the artists. And that location, I'm going to be there Saturday because there's a local band that I really like and I follow. So, I know when they're playing. They're Crooked Jones. I don't know if you ever heard of them, but they're playing there Saturday night. But, you know, sometimes it's even, hey, you know, can you give the artist, you know, a little bit of food before they go on and let them talk about it? And, you know, some things like that because that's the environment you're in.
Right.
You know, not only, I agree with you, to post and get the followers ongoing, but I'm thinking even at times, how do you maximize? You got 3 hours. Yeah. How do you keep the line at two people deep, not eight people deep? How do you keep it two people deep for most of those 3 hours?
Yeah, that's the hard part is, you know, well, you know, she's got a system down. She knows what she's doing. Everything is set up. Everything is ready to go. She could turn this. But the thing that we get involved with, and, you know, I know her mother and her are probably the same as me, is that it's very hard to delegate. It's very hard to let go of creative control over your food or have someone else make your food because no one's going to ever do it the way you do it. And so it's really hard because they're so passionate on this is the product that is going to make people smile. And you kind of forget about the marketing and you forget about that, hoping word of mouth is enough. And sometimes it is. Yeah. This is a good enough product where I'm going to tell people, hey, you need to go over here. You know, that's the kind of product this is. But this might be something where you take a GoPro, you take something and attach it to the side of the truck. You put it out in the establishment and you tell people, hey, if you don't mind, you know, we have the camera there. If you don't want to be on camera, let me know. We can turn it off or whatever. But at the same time, you get the natural reaction when they eat, or you ask them, hey, can I do this? Can I take a picture? Or you get someone like, I used college kids a lot because I was in a college town. Those college kids are good with social media. Yeah. They have no problem walking up to people. They went out. They did my work for me. They go out. They get my interviews. They take the cameras out. They ask how they feel. You know, that's a great way to kind of utilize someone else and their help when you can take creative control over your product.
Yeah, no, those are great ideas and things.
Awesome
that,
ideas. You know, I just never can do thought about that, right? Like, because you're smart, but you're like, it's a lot to organize in your mind. Yeah. So like, yeah, what about all this focus all the time on trying to get a bigger following, but it's more like, you're right, what about the people just sitting in front of me? How do I get them to come up to the truck, you know?
Yeah, and
the smell, usually.
Yeah, well, absolutely, in the lines. But then I will say, as someone who's sat there, and, you know, I was in an apartment complex for a while during the pandemic, and so we'd have, you know, events, and maybe every other week there'd be a food truck. But when you saw six people in line, you're like, okay, I'm going to wait till it gets down to two because I don't really want to go stand for that long. You know, that
and
type
our line
of thing.
Gets long. There's no doubt about it. And our food is made to order, every single thing, from our pasta to our pizza to our meatball sandwiches. So I think sometimes people expect fast on a food truck because they're like, it's like you're scooping it and go. And it's like, okay, here it's a mobile bistro.
Yeah.
We are cooking everything to order. So the more people that get in line, the longer it's all taking, which I'm sure you understand.
Yeah. And that's something you have to tell people because I told people all that, you know, that all the time is, listen, you're not coming into Domino's. I'm not throwing this through a conveyor belt. You know, what we're doing is we're preparing this by hand. You can watch me as I cook your food. You can watch the flames come up from under my pan. I have no problem with you watching me. And that's why with my restaurant, I made sure to open up my kitchen. Number one, I want people to understand why my kitchen's open. Number one, I'm clean and you're safe here. Number two, you see that I'm making this by hand. You're going to calm down about this. The other good thing is I'm Italian and I'm from New York. So it kind of becomes a character at a point where I'm able to give people a hard time. I would tell people when they're on the phone trying to order, I go, hey, listen, I don't want to interrupt your conversation. So why don't you step aside while I go ahead and fill someone else's order? Like they would laugh about it. Like there's a way you get to learn and then it becomes a character of who you are and what you're doing. But people will understand when they taste your food, why they waited. And as long as you're upfront about it and tell people, hey, this is what it is. And I always put signs up. Hey, you may wait 5 minutes, but I'm going to tell you it's going to be the best 7 minutes that you waited. You know, just a joke for them to go, wait, you said five, but seven. I was like, yeah, yeah, whatever. You know, it's going to take me time.
Right.
Well, exactly. And even, you know, I think the same idea is you take the GoPro.
I'm
going
to keep eating this, by the way. I'm sorry. This is amazing.
I'm really happy
wonderful.
That you're like eating.
Oh, this
that
is fantastic!
So
you know,
I was like the Italian guy's gonna come for us, but I can always bring more.
Well, I'm about to go get that microwave and put on the.
Yeah, absolutely.
We can, maybe we can get Brent to put that one in.
I want you to be able to see like frozen to mouth, but and to kind of cycle back around, like I wanted to touch on that right now. Look, we are an open kitchen, and we are, you know, doing that for the same exact reason. So I think I love that. You know, you're in it, like you understand why I do it. Our kitchen is open because, yeah, I want you to see it's immaculately clean.
Yeah.
I want you to see the process of how your food, we always make a joke now that we only have the countertop, come to the chef's counter, you know, and have your meal. But, and we also want to have a show and we give that every one of my employees. And I've been so blessed, like beyond that, like with the employees I've managed to have over the years and the ones I have right now is a solid team. And it has been a very serious give up of control. So I understand where that vibe comes from because we're having to teach this stuff to people and really put our faith in them that they are going to do it, and they are doing it every day.
Yeah, yeah. And I think one of the things, you know, going back earlier, that you can also do is part of, you know, it's only getting that GoPro, so to speak, and putting one inside your truck, all right, so that you can then capture what it's like to fulfill that order, that everything is made from hand and that you're doing that. And with each of your, you just mentioned that each of your team members, you know, they have their own story too. You can actually do it with various one to them, and then you can put that on your own social media to get the longer term followers, so they actually see the internal process, what goes on, as much as you're willing to share. And I think that's feeding the longer term interest and followers, and then the idea of doing it outside the truck while people mm-hmm. are eating, you know, really helps to build the on site.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. Like, GoPros aren't that big of an investment, you know, something I never thought about, but like genius, you know, just to like get that raw, like, you know, reaction and stuff like that.
The other thing I like to do is kids. Kids are the most important aspect to bringing me business every single time. So every year for summers, I bring in camps and I say, hey, and it's easy because I do pizza too. So it's easy because all I have to do is throw a piece of pizza in the air. They freak out. It lands on their head. It's just dough. They love it. And then they talk about it for 6-7 years about the time they went to Lepardo's and the time that they got this amazing, they were taught how to make pizza. They made their own pizza. They made their own sandwich. And then they, every time their parents ask them at that point, where do you want to go eat? They said my restaurant, you know, and it was important. It's the same thing when I go to take the food truck out. I go to the kids first and I'll take a little meatball or I'll take something and say, here, take this, try it. Tell your parents how much you love it. Like, I literally use your children against you because I know that they become brand loyal right then and there. And when they taste this, they know. Kids are smarter than adults. They will not sacrifice. They don't care about money. They don't know how much it costs. They think everything's a dollar. They don't know. So when they get a good quality product, they know right away, this is good, this tastes better. Like, kids will tell me, why is this so much better than Domino's? Why is this so much better than this place? And it's because parents think $5 for a pizza or $20 for a pizza. They don't realize, like, okay, my pizza is whole milk, salt, and that's what's in my cheese. That's it. It's not the rest of the chemicals you'll find in other places. So those kids will come back and tell their parents, that's where I want to go from now on.
Yeah. So I was going to ask, what other challenges? What are the things you're facing now? So we've talked a little bit about how do we keep you full throughout, you know, your time that you're at locations. But what are the other things you're challenged with or looking at or you know, deal with on a day-to-day basis?
Cost. Okay. Cost of everything. It has been shocking. And we have done some increasing and trying to pick up that, you know, inflation, but it's like you can't almost increase your prices as fast as the inflation is happening. It's the fastest inflationary rate we've seen in years. And, you know, so that's the thing. The challenge is, like, how do I get the products, not change what I'm doing, keep it good? Because most restaurants and food trucks are just like cut. Let's just get styrofoam. Let's do this. Let's do that. Well, in our mission, it's like we're not using styrofoam. We're mostly to-go business. We have to think about our impact on the planet. And so we use EcoCraft products. The cost of that stuff has skyrocketed, especially since everybody's a to-go business now.
Yeah.
You got 5-star restaurants, you know, over here doing takeout because they got to find a way to stay open. So finding a way to deal with that and the cost of all of our services, cost of fuel, cost of every single thing. I mean, because the gas went up, everyone's cost went up. So, you know, just to get simple things like a hood cleaning is more expensive than it was a year ago.
Yeah, you know, and I talk about this on our show, The Morning Extra, the other day, about being a small business owner right now. It's hard. You thought it was hard when we were in good economic times. You don't realize what it is now because, like I've said, when Cisco comes to order, when some of your distributors come to order, they charge you for the gas. And we know what gas prices are. So you're paying for that.
Yeah, gas surcharges.
Right. On top of what you're already paying, because you know what? Cisco's expensive. US Foods is expensive. But I can go to Restaurant Depot, pick it up, have it right now. And all I have to do is drive to Marietta. That's my gas now that we're talking about. And again, these products, they're all going up because of that. And it's really hard. And that needs to be told to these customers. Hey, listen,
well, that's a key, and we tell people all the time on the show is, don't be apologetic. You know, there are times you have to stay in business. So, you know, there are times you have to raise the cost. What are you doing, and have you tried some things? Like, in your business, I wouldn't recommend the gas surcharge. I've seen it, you know, in other businesses that I used to deal with all the time. But, you know, all the time now we get, and someone says, hey, will you round up for this cause, or will you add a dollar for this? Have you ever considered saying, you know, gas surcharge fund? Are you willing to throw $1 or $2 in on top? It's not a requirement, but have you ever considered doing things like that to see whether people who love your food are willing to help out a little bit, you know, versus make it a mandatory?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you want to do stuff like that, but you have like this impending fear. Right. Like, yeah. Oh, I don't want to alienate my customers. I'm already scared I'm alienating by raising the price. But I've had so many customers that are really nice and have said, Kara, look, like, this food is worth it. If I have to pay $1 or $2 more for it, I'm going to pay it. And I'm like, wow, thank you so much. So I think you're just, you have insecurity. You have fear. Like, will they pay it? Will they show up? Will they come back if I charge them an extra fee? So I have to, like, in myself, sometimes be a little more confident and realize people will recognize it and will pay for it. But no, we haven't thought about that. It's another great idea.
Just an idea I would consider, because again, if you make it optional, there are going to be people who will do it. If you put a menu item at the end of your list, so it's not adding, go $2 gas fund. And so if someone wants to say, hey, put one of those $2 on my order, I'm ordering 3 meatball sandwiches or whatever, you know, and you just put it out there of, hey, if you're willing to help, we're trying to help cover the cost of being here.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I used to do too is, and it's so important during these times because, yeah, we go through it all the time, especially when Super Bowl comes around, you know, wings go up, these certain things go up around certain events, and you have to come up with a way to say, oh, okay, hold on, how am I going to keep my quality and not ruin my quality? Because I'm not going to come back on the meat I'm buying. I'm not going to come back on, obviously, the bun I'm buying or the cheese I'm buying. What can I do to bring back money? But again, sometimes it is a really hard thing to say to a customer, like, hey, this is a gas fund, because they're like, oh, really? Well, I spent the gas to get here to buy your food. So what I would do is use my employees, because people care about the employees, especially if you have good employees. Now, I trained all my employees that I want you to, and I knew they couldn't do it, but I always remembered every customer's name, kind of came up with a way to make them feel like family. It's an Italian thing. So I told my employees to do that. They built those relationships with me. At the same time, I was able to say, hey, guys, if you want, put an extra, you know, an extra gas charge in there for this, you know, for Crystal, for Kelsey, for my employees, because once they see the employees, then they know, hey, and then that way you can talk to your employees and go, hey, guys, we need this to stay in business. I understand, you know, there's a way I can, you know, change your payment structure so you get a part of this now. So you'll get these tips, they'll go to you, but I'm going to cut it out of certain areas, because you never want to hurt them, you know, your employees, but you want them to understand, like, hey, this is a long-term thing. We're going to get through this eventually, but while we do, there's sacrifices we all need to make. So some of your employees will go for it, some of them not. That's the thing where you talk to them, but you want to be more creative, because right. A lot of customers get upset. When I told people I had to charge 75 cents for mayo at one point because they were going through it, oh, you thought I put like plastic in all my food and they couldn't eat it anymore. That's how bad they get with little charges. You got to be real careful.
Right. Well, that's why we have Rhino on here. So.
Well, and Uber Eats did a great thing during the pandemic where they had an option for customers to give a contribution to the restaurant.
Yeah.
And that seems like so whatever, because my God, they're already spending a lot more money to go through Uber Eats. It worked. And every, you know, few orders, we would see like contribution, $5 to your restaurant.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They weren't taking fees off that. They were giving that money straight to the business. So that was cool. So even if it's just like a, hey, contribute, if you want to give an extra contribution to the restaurant or whatever, maybe it's like add a dollar, you know, even just whatever you want to call it, or putting it to a person or giving it a personalization, because I think that's a great point. Like, people get attached to the people.
Yeah.
And when they come in, they're like, where's so-and-so today? I'm like, oh, he's just on vacation. Don't worry, because they're so scared of turnover now. And I've been lucky with that over the years.
So. Well, that's good. And so what else, what other things are you doing, or what are you thinking about that, you know, you want to bounce off Rhino and, you know, and get my amateur opinion?
Yeah, well, I mean, you said you have a food truck or a trailer, obviously. And then how many restaurants do you have?
Well, I had one, and I sold it right before the pandemic because I was like, I need some time off.
Yeah,
I'm still eating this meatball. Yeah. I'm eating everybody else's sandwich. This is the other thing I do as an Italian. It's funny because everybody says you need to have small portions. I said, I do. I just have everybody else in the family's portions, too. But yeah, so I'm down. So I had the restaurant. I bought the food truck as an extension of the restaurant, kind of as a catering. But at the same time, I was getting so much business from everywhere else. It was just easier for me to take my truck and my trailer out to the place that I was going to be at, whether it was like a Yamaha or a big corporation, just bring that whole thing there. So I started that. But then everybody's like, wow, can you do this festival? Can you do this? But I stayed in a restaurant more than ever. I mean, I always, whenever I had my restaurants, I was always in them. And, you know, it's just easier to be at one location. I don't like having multiple locations because I feel like your quality goes down once you continue to open them. And I can never train. Like, my brother and I, we can cook. Everybody else, I don't know if you're going to do it right. It's a really hard thing, especially for Italians. Oh, it's so hard to balance and allow someone else to take that control.
So we're doing about, you know, 1,800 meatballs on a prep day. So we do have a team now that is excellent. So my mom is going to be 70 this year. So she comes in and, you know, she oversees everything, gets her hands on it, does this, does that. But we do have a team now that's prepping a lot of this, and we're so lucky because they have maintained the quality.
Yeah.
Because we've taught them well.
Exactly.
Right. And we hold them to a standard, and when it's not right, we tell them. But we're trying to expand. That's the next steps. You know, just like, where is that expansion? What does that look like? Possibly a new food truck, possibly another location in a more high traffic area. So that's kind of where we're at right now, is like, how do you make more in the restaurant business? You just sell more.
Yeah.
You sell more and you keep the same or a limited amount of labor and you just keep trying to sell more.
Well, and that's got to be the hardest thing. And I think when we come back from the break, we'll dive into it. But is, you know, when you're at one, going from one to two, it's hard to go from one to 1.25. Mm-hmm. And so we'll do that in just a minute when we come back from the break. You were listening to the Marketing Mad Men on Extra 106.3.
Now back to the Marketing Mad Men on Extra 106.3 FM.
Welcome back to Marketing Mad Men. Trip Job and Rhino here.
I'm still
with
eating.
Yeah.
I'm not going to stop.
Why should we?
This is where you get in trouble with a place like Meatballers, okay? Sure. Because the food is so good and it's so, like, this is why I had to lose 85 pounds was because my Nona was just like her. And I'm giving her an endorsement to be... Because this is really good. And the Marsala that she just brought out that was frozen and reheated, you can't do that in any kind of Stouffer's. Or this is a very hard thing to do, to have that taste translate back. And to have a sauce that doesn't break, even in a microwave, is amazing. It's a really... I'm literally blown away because I came in when you told me who that was coming in, and unfortunately I was not familiar with her product before now, but I was like, oh, here we go, someone else who thinks, because a lot of times you go into these Italian restaurants and they're like, oh, this is real Italian, and then you're like, looking at the people in the back, you're like, you look nothing like my family. It's not real Italian.
Yeah.
Olive Garden is not real Italian.
It's Tug and the North Georgia hillbillies.
I'm gonna say this, and it's I'm going to say this in the best possible way. I call Olive Garden and Carrabba's Latin-Italian fusion, because the people who are cooking it aren't Italians. You know, they don't understand what we grew up with. This is really, really... Look, I'm blown away. This is unbelievable food.
Well, tell us a little bit about not only the chicken marsala, but tell us about this grab and go.
Yeah, so that was one of the things we had to come up with during the pandemic, was like, what's another way to get our food to the customers? And everybody was really aiming for convenience, quick, grab and go. So I said, Mom, let's try this. Okay, I don't know. I've never vacuum sealed anything in my life. I didn't know what I was doing. I was like, we're going to learn. We're going to figure it out. So we do everything from, you know, comfort foods like Salisbury steak and, you know, beef bourguignon. We do whatever. My mom puts classic lasagna, meat lovers lasagna. We got a stuffed sausage. Sausage stuff shells going in there this week. So we got our Italian mac and cheese. It's like a 6-cheese mac and cheese. I mean, I have to tone the cheeses down because my mom's just what other cheese can I add to this? I'm like, I just see dollar signs, you know, with the cheese. But so we pan sear that, and then we put a cheesy meatball with sauce right on top. It's called the Godfather mac and cheese. So we put that inside the cold case too. I mean, the things that we are shocked from our customers that we've been able to recreate, put in a freezer, and nothing's ever going to taste as good as out of the pan, Rhino.
Right,
I agree. You know, the pan is the best place. Right. Fresh is the best. But if you can create that like 90% feeling, like your grandma made this, because a grandma did make it, and my mom, nobody else preps this stuff. I mean, this is her creations, which is a double-edged sword, okay? Because without my mother, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Right.
Because she cooks all this food, and it's like, how do you translate? How do you grow and keep it amazing?
Yeah.
You know, but it's just, I think that's through good principles of training and really having, stick to your guns on what your food should look and taste like, and don't accept anything less. And if they're not willing to put it out that way, they got to move on, because they got to share the vision.
yeah.
and the dream and the passion right. that you have. And you can find that. You really can.
So yeah. grab and go, this is what, two servings roughly?
Yeah, two servings per grab and go. Now, sometimes
and what do they typically run? So if you're
yeah, it depends on what you're getting. So we'll do full meals, which is a side, a starch, and an entree for about $15 to $16. And then the
Are
double.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, no.
For and two then, people? This well, food?
Yeah, and then it can range up to like $28, just depending on what the dish is. Because yeah. the Marsala is definitely on the higher end because just the mushroom
right. oh, the
mix
mushrooms.
Is outrageous. You know, we buy a lot of cremini and all the good stuff, so...
I mean, you can't get a crappy deal a meal for one sometimes for $15.
No.
And this is incredible.
This is a $25, $30 dish in a regular, you know,
Italian restaurant.
Now, if you were go to someone else who's not going to make it as well, like some of these high-end Italian restaurants, and I'm not going to say any names, but they're all over Atlanta, and they're horrible. They're high-end. They're going to charge you almost $40 for something like this, and this is made 20 times better than most of those places that you'll get. This is made by hand. I mean, I'm blown away. I really am. And I it's just, Marsala is one of the hardest things to make. I mean, and, you know, I make a Frances, I make a Marsala, I make a lot of different piccatas. The sauce is so hard to keep. And it's one of the things that you get really passionate about is making sure that sauce doesn't break and that it is a good thick sauce. And that when you lay it over, it's going to melt into the pasta and you're going to be able to just spin a fork and you'll see the sauce come with your pasta. And this is unbelievable that the Marsala is just so well done and thick, and it's a great dish. And for the amount that you get for that price, yeah, that's a great deal.
So how do you, I know you've got it on the truck in a cold case, so how are you promoting that? How are you letting people know about it?
Oh, it's actually only in the store.
Only in the store, okay.
Yeah, so the truck's not big enough, unfortunately, to really bring that around. But how do we promote it? Again, not well enough, right? Marketing pointers I need, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's just finding ways to creatively get your marketing done. And oftentimes you don't have huge marketing budgets. You're a small business. So you have to find ways to like market for free. And really, I think word of mouth is what we've tried to use for many years. And I'm just starting to learn. So I think one of the biggest shifts we're making this year is we are trying to bring on a PR marketing firm. We just met with them. And we're trying to take the next steps to say maybe there's professionals out there we can start surrounding ourselves with that can do some of these areas better.
Right.
And that's a thing you have to give up control over, too, is to recognize I don't need to send every email. Maybe I can find someone to do this for me.
Find someone. But, you know, as we tell people all the time, make sure they understand your goals. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's got to be the number one, is you're meeting with them and talking about what does success look like for you? And how do they make sure that they're not just doing something? Oh, we got more followers. We got more likes. What does that mean for you? How does that turn into your business? If one of your goals is, I want to take this grab and go business from, and I'm just using easy dollars, $1,000 a week to $5,000 a week, they need to understand that's your goal. It's not how many followers and likes you get. It's, can you help us reach that revenue, you know, range?
Yeah, and it's one of those things, too, where you use technology. I mean, this is such a great idea, and it's something that a lot of people would want, especially now, because you know what? A lot of people don't like cooking the way we do. One of the things that I would probably do with this is, you know, I love the QR code. I love being able to scan it and getting into people's phones right then and there. I always put QR codes everywhere. This is one of those things where you put a QR code, especially if you have a good company that's doing your app or your social marketing. You know, you want to make sure they scan that. The first thing that should come up is, hey, did you know that we have grab and go? Hey, did you know you could feed your kids that can't cook when they go to college? Send them these. They're freezing.
Yeah.
Send them this.
Yeah.
The QR code is my best friend. Any kind of advertising that I can go ahead and put something I want to push out front, you know, and this happens a lot in the restaurant business. Like, okay, I have a short, you know, a short shelf life for certain things like fish, shrimp, stuff like that. I'm going to move it quicker. Those are the things that go on the top of my list when I'm using marketing and when I'm using technology like that. Hey, and then, you know, it spreads. It spreads real quick that way.
And let's use COVID, right? I mean, look, there's still people that, you know, have to quarantine for a couple days of COVID. Let's use social media right now in your post. Hey, got a friend who's quarantining? send them meatball. They can't get come to you. Send them meatballers, chicken marsala. You know, because hey, they're looking for ways. You know, can I bring a meal? Can I do stuff? But use that right now to your advantage. All of a sudden, you get your own followers who take care of others that are under the weather, so to speak. So
and deaths we have and like families. You know, hey, grandma died. Send them this. No, don't do that.
We use all the mobile apps. And honestly, I'm sitting here as we're talking, thinking like, why don't I upload these on the mobile apps?
Yeah. Yes,
and
absolutely.
That's exactly what you need to do.
So people can just get them on their Uber Eats order or whatever. And I'm like, why? You know, so today has been like, it's just turning wheels that haven't turned. Like, it's a little rusty in there, so
well,
I appreciate that.
Today's been fantastic. Thanks so much for coming in.
I'm going to tell the story.
Yeah, well, we can keep eating, but I think we're going to be off the air soon. But, no, this has been fantastic. I had seen your truck. I've eaten there, but I didn't see the breadth of everything you bring. And just the passion, Kara. It's fantastic. I am an ambassador. I think Rhino's an ambassador.
Listen, I would put your balls in my mouth any day. These are fantastic.
Let's go on your show. Next, I'll bring more food this time. We do deep fried pizza, so that's going to be the next thing you're going to want to try.
Awesome. Well, again, thanks, Kara Dalala from Meatballers Atlanta, and you have been listening to the Marketing Mad Men on Extra 106.3. Awesome.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Hey, Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right. You can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.